92211882 if you'd like to join the conversation here this afternoon. We have been talking to Paige Taylor from the Australian newspaper about the front page that has made the front page about the police push for a remote booze ban in Western Australia. Of course, there are a number of different views about how we might best protect the people in the Kimberley. Online, I have Bradley Woods, who's the Australian Hotels Association, Western Australia CEO. Good afternoon, Bradley. Nice to speak to you again.
Carl, how are you? Long time no speak.
Indeed, indeed.
Different role. it's a pleasure to have a chat, though.
Thank you. Before we go into the different types of responses that would be available to government to address some of the issues in the Kimberley, I'm a bit mystified about why it's taking so long for the Director of Liquor Licensing to actually come up with a decision on this.
well, I think it depends on which issue we're looking at. There's the Pilbara and then there's the Kimberley.
Mm.
The story that was in The Australian today was in relation to the Kimberley.
That's right.
The Pilbara matter is the one that's been ongoing, as you'll recall, since 2017.
Yeah.
And the original application by the police up there was one that licensees were not happy with, and they questioned that, and that was a matter that the liquor licensing jurisdiction or the director of liquor licensing took some time to consider, and then they made a decision that was then appealed. There was appeals by the police, there was appeals by licensees. The end result of that in terms of the court processes added another 12 months, probably 18 months potential delay to it, and then of course the decision was handed down mid last year.
Mm.
And of course part of it's complicated by the fact that only the applicants that made the appeal to the, just to complicate it, to the police appeal were the ones that had the favourable decision made in their favour.
Mm-hmm.
And then other licensed premises were left out of that loop and that weren't AHA members, and they ended up with further restrictions. So at the end of the day, there would have been AHA members that didn't have some of the restrictions, and then non-members that did have restrictions, and then the director of liquor licensing wasn't happy with that because the idea was to have everyone restricted or not restricted one way or the other. And so we're back to square one again, I think. Mm. I'm not trying to complicate it, but that's unfortunately the nature of the legalities.
Yeah, but I think there's probably a little bit of urgency to have an outcome for this. Now, you know, clearly
one way or the other, I agree with you entirely, yeah.
Clearly the police commissioner is interested in what I would think is a alcohol takeaway ban or a liquor takeaway ban. So confining the consumption of liquor to licensed premises and restaurants and things like that, but not allowing takeaway on anything that's more than just light beer or light alcohol.
That's
and
right.
And I know that you and I think the Premier has also drawn a line in the sand here and said that he prefers and you prefer a banned drinkers register over blanket restrictions.
Yes.
I guess one of the questions I would ask is, there's been mixed reactions to the success of a banned drinkers register coming out of the Northern Territory. So the ABC have covered this and also the NT News. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, I think it's important to look at this in the context of the name banned drinkers register may sound similar, but how does it work in operation and what legislative backing does it have and how does the model get supported by the liquor trade? And those types of issues would be vastly different in the NT versus WA.
Mm.
The Liquor Stores Association and the AHA have been working collaboratively and cooperatively on looking at the technical side of this in terms of how do we get the licensed establishments that have got takeaway sales to work in a collaborative and a meaningful way to achieve the outcome that the government would desire. And we've been working away at that for the last 18 months with the technical experts that manufacture these products, but also in talking to the Department of Racing, Gaming, Liquor and the Minister's Office. The government's of the view that they would like to support the trial, and Paul Papalia, as the Minister, has engaged and consulted with expert researchers at UWA about testing and evaluating the trial in a proper independent manner so that we can have good evidence-based outcomes. Now, if the evidence-based outcomes at the end of the trial say it doesn't work, it's not going to work, it's a disaster, then we would accept that it obviously need to go back to the drawing board. But if it does work and it does have potential and it does intervene at the level which we hope it will, and that's targeting at the recidivist problem drinkers, not the broad community, then hopefully we set the foundation and the framework to move forward to roll that out in other parts of the state as well.
How long would you think such a trial would take?
Well, I mean, ideally, in the first 12 months, we're going to have some fairly good indicators, but I know the Minister's desire is to see that that the banned drinkers register is trialled for a minimum of 2 years, but I think we all agree that we're going to have some fairly good data in the first 12 months.
Right.
I think that would be a reasonable period, but the researchers at UWA, from a point of the efficacy around, and I know you've done your PhD, you'd appreciate that research and trials are very important. The efficacy around the data has to be qualified, and their view is that 2 years is a far more substantial level of research and data evidence.
Given that we're going to have a Pilbara trial, we might have a Pilbara trial that goes for 12 months, could we not agree to do something in the Kimberley in the meantime in terms of not selling alcohol from takeaway alcohol till we get the results of the trial?
I think the problem here is that there is a very strong level of community response to this, and different to, say, areas of like Halls Creek and Fitzroy Crossing, which, as you know, 11, 12 years ago, there was universal support from the community. 90% of the community were particularly strongly supportive of those restrictions. There was a 10% core that didn't want it, but in the main, there were a lot of people who did want it. Now, in terms of the Pilbara restrictions, there has obviously been very, very strong points of view putting forward by community representatives, just the average man and woman in the street.
Yeah.
Even some of the Indigenous corporations and representative groups have opposed it. There's been council points of view that have been very different internally within local government. I think it's a far more complex issue in terms of bringing in the question about the restriction on full-strength and mid-strength alcohol. There might be, and we've offered up to the Director of Liquor Licensing some alternative midway points that we would be prepared to concede on, and I think there is some room in that area.
Bradley, thanks very much for your time this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thanks, Carl. Right, cheers.
Well, Peter Peck's online. He's the CEO of the Liquor Stores Association, wants to have a say about this. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, Carl. How are you going?
I'm good, mate. And your view, would that be aligned with Bradley's view, or have you got another view about how this might be handled in the Kimberley?
Look, I tend to agree with Bradley there. But there is one screaming thing that I suppose is the elephant in the room, and that is I came into this job 3 years ago. And the first thing I did, I came out of state government and I came in purely to look at all the problems and see what the easiest route would be to deal with them. I'm a great believer that communication is the key to everything. And so we then made approaches to Commissioner Dawson to communicate so that we could work together collaboratively, because all of our members through Liquor Accords, when they've been asked to do self-imposed restrictions or to close early because of different issues, they've never blinked. They've done exactly what the police do, have asked, purely because they're part of the community and they want their community to be as undysfunctional as possible.
Yeah.
So our members bend over backwards quite often to make sure that they're on the right side. It's a slap in the face for them when the commissioner then just doesn't decide to talk to anybody. He just does this stuff and they feel blindsided quite often. It always seems to be a one-way street with the commissioner, and we've made numerous attempts to have dialogue with him to see if we could work collaboratively together, because if we work together, we all will come out with the same solution that we're all looking for, and that's to help the people that need the help. But unfortunately, it just seems to be falling on deaf ears.
Okay, well, maybe we can get a comment from the police on that. We'll try, because I think we'll continue with this conversation tomorrow. So if we can get someone, we could ask exactly that question. Thanks for your time, Peter.
Love your work, Carl, and I think you've got a new vocation that is working really well.
Thank you. We'll go to news headlines with John Nicholls.
Thank you, Carl.